Today we'll be looking at John 9, verses 1 through 11. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Christ came into a world that was covered in spiritual darkness. In this passage, we find the healing and salvation of a poor blind man. Let us take the opportunity today and look at Christ, the light of the world. First of all, we see this man, according to the scripture, he was born blind. To my way of thinking, this would have been one of the most horrific of physical handicaps. To never see a sunset, to never see the face of a child, the face of a loved one, would be a terrible thing. To never see that. Yet this man had lived his entire life in this state of darkness. But may I say that there is a blindness that is far worse than having sightless eyes. It is far worse to be in spiritual darkness. And that is the place where the entire world, apart from Jesus Christ, finds itself. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel," the light of the gospel, "of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them." The God of this world has blinded those who do not believe. "Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The majority of the world still lies in darkness, for they will not believe in Christ. And if you're listening today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in deep spiritual darkness today. But, however, there is hope for you in the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The scripture seems to indicate that this man was born not only handicapped, but also in poverty. You see in verses 2 and 3 of our text, this man was not only blind, but born in poverty. His birth seems to be a thing of a terrible misfortune. Many would say that he would have been better off if he had never been born. However, we find that Jesus Christ felt otherwise. He tells the disciples that this man's handicap was decreed by God so that God could get glory from this man's life. Look at verses 2 and 3 with me of John 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. That the works of God would be revealed in him. What a wonderful truth. Men need to realize that God can take any life, regardless of how that life has been ruined, save it by his grace, and turn it into a thing of endless blessing and joy. After all, the scripture says man's purpose is to fellowship with and to glorify God. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 7. This is the reason men and women were created, to glorify God. Isaiah 43, 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, whom I have created for my glory. Men and women were created for God's glory. And Jesus Christ, let me remind you, specializes in salvaging old, wasted lives. Maybe you're listening today and you have wasted your life. Well, the good news is found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is a beautiful promise from the scripture. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Do you think that that man that was born blind, that he was rejoicing that old things have passed away? Behold, all things have become new. One moment he's blind physically. Next moment he can see. And then not only that, but he was blind and then he's saved. His spiritual blindness is taken away. Physical blindness, spiritual blindness taken away. This man also, he was unable to find employment. And as a result, he was reduced to begging for what food and money that he received. You see that in verse 8 of our text. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Physical blindness reduced to a life of begging. This was a pitiful state that this man had been in. This was no rich man. It would even appear that his parents, they were not all that interested in him. Look at verse 20 to 22. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age, ask him, he'll speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, that he would be put out of the synagogue. Anyone confessing that Christ was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So, here's the guy's parents. They weren't even willing to stand up to the religious authorities. They were afraid of being outcast themselves. No rich, blind, begging. Parents really don't care for him too much. This is the same situation every sinner finds himself in today. Spiritually speaking, apart from Christ, you are hopelessly bankrupt and have no way of providing the things you need on a spiritual level. The scripture says that you are dead in your sins and trespasses. Dead in your sins and trespasses. I'm not saying that people don't try to satisfy some kind of spiritual itch that resides in their soul. They may seek to do it through religion. They may seek to do it through drugs, through alcohol, through sex, drugs, and rock and roll, etc. You fill in the blank. But in reality, these are only forms of begging. These are only forms of begging. True spiritual peace will be found nowhere else but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you know that peace, my friend, today? Do you know that you are at peace with God? For the scripture says that apart from being in Christ, that we are helpless, powerless, sinners who are enemies of Almighty God. So therefore, you can have no peace apart from Christ. Is your soul at peace today? For Christ endured poverty so that you and I might be rich in Him. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. What is that? Verse 8. Chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know of His grace? Or are you trying to earn your salvation with God? Are you trying to please God by going to church or making vows or doing this or doing the other thing? Do you know of the grace? Just like this man. Christ simply came up to the man. The man didn't earn anything with Christ. As I said, Christ endured great spiritual as well as physical poverty so that you and I might enjoy the riches of the Lord's great spiritual blessings, salvation, eternal life, heaven, the Holy Spirit, adoption. The man was changed. And the question is, have you been changed? And the man was changed because he was exposed to the light. When Christ passed by, this man's life was forever changed. Jesus first healed him of his physical handicap. The anointing of his eyes in the text with the clay and the spittle would have caused irritation in his eyes. When Christ comes to the sinner in convicting power, He causes irritation of the heart and soul. Do not despise this, for it is the only way that anyone can ever be saved. When the man went to Siloam and washed his eyes, he was healed of his blindness. Notice that when the people asked him what had happened, he never mentioned about the spittle. The spit, why not? Simply because he had not seen it take place. He was blind. There is a lesson here for us. Listen closely. There are times when God is working in our lives, bringing us to Himself. Often, we cannot see the Lord's work. And even after we are saved, we may never realize all the little things, that God does to bring us to the center of His will, that we would glorify Him. After Christ exposed the man to the physical light, He began to lead him through a series of events that brought him face to face with who Jesus Christ really was and is. being able to see with these physical eyes is not enough to save you. We must come to the place where we see the spiritual truth. Being able to see with these physical eyes is never enough. We must come to the place where we're able to see spiritual truth. When the people asked this man who had healed them, all he knew was that it was some fellow named Christ. He could have been any of a thousand men, just some guy named Jesus. This is where some people are today. All they know is that Christians get all excited about somebody named Jesus Christ, but just knowing a little about Jesus Christ or being able to speak his name is not enough to save you. Because if you do not know him any better than this, then you do not know him at all. If that is the case, then you will be unable to help others find him also. This is a very limited knowledge, but it is the first step in the road to salvation. First of all, Christ is a prophet. He says the blind man first comes to realization, and realize the light starts to dawn on him, right? So first, in verses 13 through 17, he realizes that Christ is a prophet. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. Verse 17, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opens your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. When the Pharisees heard of the miracle, they called the blind men to them to get to the bottom of this thing. Some of them were upset that Christ had done this miracle on a Sabbath day. They concluded that if he would do something considered to be a work on the Sabbath, then he must be a sinner. They asked the person that had been blind, and he said that Jesus was a prophet. In other words, he's a man to be listened to. This man had listened to Christ once, and that obedience had resulted in his healing. Therefore, he concludes that Christ is worthy of being listened to. There are many who have received this much light today. The opinion of Christ is that, well, he's a wise man, he's a great teacher. However, before salvation will ever shine the glory of its power deep in your soul, you're going to have to realize that he is far more than one showing the way. He's far more than, quote unquote, a great man, a great teacher, one of the prophets. He's far more than that. You're going to have to come to the place where you see him as the way, the truth, and the life, or you will never be saved. He is not a prophet. He is the prophet. He is the man of God. There are a series of questions by the Pharisees and some pretty good preaching on the part of this man. He arrives at the conclusion that Jesus is a man of God. You find that in verses 18 through 33. He is a man to be followed. He even asked the Pharisees if they'd like to follow him also. They must have wanted to choke him when he said that. Do you also want to follow him? You must realize that you have to go all the way with Christ. This man realizes that he is a prophet, that he is the man of God, that he is speaking for God. Lost people have to get to Jesus Christ. They have to get past that Jesus Christ, the man, realize that he is also God. He wasn't just a man of God, he was the God-man. John tells us in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is called the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John 1, verse 14, we read, and the Word became flesh. Does that sound familiar to you? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 17, we read, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Not only is Christ the prophet, not only is Christ the man of God, but Christ is also the Son of God. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a preacher. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a miracle worker. He's more than the one person who got himself hung on a cross. He was and is God in the flesh today. God in the flesh today. This is the conclusion that men must arrive at before they can ever be saved. Either he is the Son of God, as he said, or he is not worthy of our worship and our faith. If he is not the Son of God, then you and I are headed for hell this morning. There's no hope for us. Matter of fact, if Christ is not who we claim to be, and we follow him, 1 Corinthians 15:19 tells us this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. The most pitiful. If this Christ that I'm speaking of is not who he said he was, then I should be pitied. I am one of the most pitiful people. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. Unless, of course, he is who we claim to be. Continuing on in that text in 1 Corinthians 15, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And that is the question today. In Adam, all men and women have died. But in Christ, for those who come to Christ, in Christ, all shall be made alive. Now, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15. Let me read the first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. This is what I'm doing. I'm declaring the gospel in this message, which also you received, and in which you stand. The gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. How are you saved? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ died for sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. All right, here's Paul testifying of what he had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This man had come to Christ. Christ came to him first. Christ comes to us first. You hear the gospel, you hear the good news, and the man did what Christ told him to do. He showed his faith by the fact that he went to the pool of Siloam and washed the clay from his eyes. There he was. Even as Abraham believed and he went out from Ur of the Chaldees, he did what God told him to do. Abraham was told to leave his country, to leave his people, to come out from amongst the people, from his family members. Christ tells this man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes, and he'll see. And not only did he see physically, but he came to see spiritually. And the same to you today, my friend. If you are blind, and apart from Christ, the scripture says you are blind if you believe it or not. It says the God of this world, I started out by reading to you, the God of this world has blinded. The God of this age has blinded those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Notice, Christ is the image of God. That's why I said he's more than a prophet. He's more than a great man. He is the God-man. He is made in the image of God. And it says, the God of this age has blinded those who do not believe the gospel, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Abraham was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to come out from amongst his family, his relatives, his city, his only way that he knew of life, and he went out. The scripture is full of God coming and then commanding. Well, God has come in Christ. The God-man has come, and he said, repent and believe. Repent and believe. Paul admonishes the people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And all of those that are in Christ, they're out today in some way, shape, or form in their place of life, wherever they would be, their job, their houses, their neighborhoods, on the internet, wherever they would find themselves, preaching the gospel. For I read to you earlier from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Well, that same chapter, in verse 18, it says this, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Notice, the only way to be reconciled to God is through Christ, and has given us, who's the us, those that believe in Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So here's God. He's reconciling people in the world to himself through Christ, not imputing their trespasses to them, because they're coming to Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He's begging the people. He's pleading with them, as though God were pleading through us. Now, could you imagine if Christ had to beg this blind man to see? But here we have in the text that Christ is pleading through us, as though God were pleading through us to be reconciled. To be reconciled to God Almighty. You lived your life of sin and debauchery and every other wickedness. Or maybe you was a quote-unquote nice religious person and was as blasphemous to God through your religion as any quote-unquote sinner from the streets. Everyone, the scripture says, has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Even right now, if you're fighting all of this, it just shows you how blind you truly are. Instead of coming to Christ today for salvation. For the last verse in that chapter is this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Read this. Believe it. For he made him, who? Christ, who knew no sin. Christ was sinless, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Christ became sin for us, so that for this reason, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Notice what that's saying. Believing in this Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years ago, he becomes sin for you, and you become the righteousness of God? What kind of a concept, what kind of a thought is that? What kind of man could think up something as bizarre as that? That kind of thought only comes from God Almighty. That the God of this universe comes to the earth as a man, dies for men, he becomes sinful, he takes their sin upon them, is put to death because of their sin, and we become the righteousness of God. I mean, whoever heard such a thing? But the good news is that could be true of you today. You can become the righteousness of God. You who were dead in your sins and trespasses, you who were spiritually blind would be able to now see. If you find yourself in that position, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Christ is using a person like me as an ambassador. Every believer is an ambassador of reconciliation. An ambassador goes and speaks for his country. I'm simply coming as an ambassador speaking to you today from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's saying, be reconciled to God Almighty. And there's no way to the Father but through the Son. Now you must simply do as the man in the text did. He listened to what was told him by the Lord. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash your eyes, and you will be able to see. Go to Christ today and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring him your sin. Bring him all the wickedness of your life. Come to Christ today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be able to see. And you will not only be able to see, you will be saved for all eternity. I would plead with you, even as I read to you in the text, as though God were pleading to us, we implore you, we're begging you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God.